and welcome to A Word for This Day podcast. I'm Jory Schaefer, the show's host and creator, and it is my joy and pleasure to welcome you today. Welcome to anyone who's found us for the first time. I'm so thankful that you are here, and welcome back to all my regular listeners. I'm thankful that you are here. What a blessing to be able to think about God's Word with you today. Oh, and we are going to look at a word that is hard to do, but we must do it. And so I'm excited for us to see where we are in God's Word today and to ask Him to help us in doing exactly what He said to do. Please consider sharing this podcast with your friends, family, neighbors, strangers, and know that I pray for you frequently. I continue to pray that that you will have this desire to know more of Him, that you'll have this desire for righteousness and the things of Him, and that you will be deliberate about studying His Word and thinking about His Word and putting Him first. Oh, friends, may we do that. May we encourage one another to do that, because we have so many distractions in this world day after day after day, but may we keep our hearts and minds stayed on Him. Know that I love to hear from you, so if you feel so led, send me a message sometime and let me know what the Lord's doing in your life as you're spending more time with Him each day. Well, our verse for the day for April the 25th, 2024, comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, and it reads as follows from the Legacy Standard Bible. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So here we are once again talking about our mouth and the things that we say. And so I'm excited for us to park here and to be encouraged, to be reminded, and to think about these words that God gave Paul to write. But first, let's think about where we are in the scripture. We are in this letter of the Ephesians. And as I mentioned, we know that Paul wrote this letter. And the reason we know that is because it opens up in this way. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love what Paul does after that. He goes into a whole section of praise and thanksgiving to God our Father. We may come back and talk about that in a minute. But much like Paul did with all of his 13 letters, he tells us who wrote this letter. Often, in most of his letters, he will give us his qualifications or his credentials. And he does that here. He says he's an apostle of Christ Jesus. That apostle means that he was appointed to be a messenger, and it was by the will of God. And then he's writing to those who are at Ephesus. It is thought that that church at Ephesus was first started by Priscilla and Aquila, who were fellow workers with the Apostle Paul. You may recall, if you've been listening or if you've studied the scriptures much, that Paul met Priscilla and Aquila in Corinth, and he stayed with them. They were all tent makers by trade. And so when he went to Corinth, he stayed with them. They were a husband and wife team who just worked very closely with him. And then after he left Corinth, he was there for about 18 months. They went away to Ephesus, and he left Priscilla and Aquila there. And then I think he came back to Ephesus. And I believe he spent around 3 years there. Later, we read that Timothy was sent there. And so Paul knew these folks very well, cared for them very much. But just like with many of the other places, some false teachers had crept in and some false doctrine. And so Paul wrote this letter to remind them about what they had in Christ and who they were in Christ. He talked about in the first three chapters of Ephesians. Excuse me. There's six chapters. So in the first half of Ephesians, it's very much doctrinal truth. Things that they needed to know as believers in Christ, things that they needed to be reminded about, like it's by grace we've been saved through faith, not works, and talk to them about unity in the body of Christ and all of the things that they had because they were believers in Christ, all those spiritual blessings that they had. And you can read about that in that first chapter of Ephesians. And then in the last three chapters, it's very much, okay, now that we know this, how do we walk this out? How do we live this day by day by day? And Paul very much explained that in those latter three chapters. This of Paul's letters is in that group of what we call prison epistles or prison letters. He wrote four letters to groups of people, and then one to Philemon from a Roman imprisonment. And this is not the one that was his last imprisonment from where he wrote the final letter to Timothy. This is one in which it seemed that he was under house arrest, that people could come and go. And he wrote the letter to the Ephesians, the Philippians, the Colossians, and to Philemon. And those are grouped together often as the prison epistles. He cared, as I mentioned, very deeply for these Ephesians, and he so wanted them to be reminded. He wanted them to be reminded about how we walk, how we act as a believer in Christ, and also that there is spiritual warfare going on, and God has given us that armor of God to put on to stand against those attacks of the evil one, and that it would be necessary to do that. And so I just love this letter. There's so much here. Remember that Paul, talking about his apostleship, he was not in that group of the apostles who were called by the Lord Jesus during Jesus' earthly ministry. Before he was crucified, Jesus chose 12 of his disciples, and he called them apostles, and he gave them the authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, the authority to heal every kind of disease and affliction, and they worked very closely with him. Paul was an opponent of the gospel to begin with. He was a very zealous Jew. He was of that group called Pharisees, and he describes himself as a blasphemer and an insolent opponent. And God graciously allowed him to be used in his service, in the service to the Lord. And the Lord Jesus, the resurrected Lord Jesus, met him on his way to Damascus, where he was headed to persecute more Christians. And you could read about that in Acts chapters 9, 22, and 26. But I want you to hear this, just how this letter opens up. It's such an encouragement. And then we'll jump over and see what he was talking about, where we find our verse for the day. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." And friends, I just love that. It's not he's given us a few blessings. It's every spiritual blessing. "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, by predestining us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he graciously bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our transgressions, according to the riches of his grace, which he caused to abound to us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in him, for an administration of the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth in him. In him we also have been made an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, to the end that we who first have hoped in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance unto the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of this glory, of his glory, I should say. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks to you while making mention of you in my prayers. He goes through and just lays out here at the beginning these wonderful spiritual blessings that we have: redemption, forgiveness, adoption, an inheritance, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And these are for all believers. And he's reminded those in Ephesus that they have that. And so I want to hop over to this chapter 4, where, remember, he's moved from the doctrine in the first three chapters into, okay, this is what it looks like now that you know that you have all of these things in Christ, now that you know that you are saved by grace through faith, and it's not through works, now that you know that he works powerfully in you, and that the great mystery that has been revealed is that Christ came not just for the Jews, but for Jews and Gentiles. This gift, this promise, can be for everyone who will receive it. Then we get into this chapter 4. And Paul starts out and is saying, because of all these things, because of what he has done, because of all these things that you have in Christ, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, exhort you to walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so he's saying, because of all these things, there is a certain way that we walk this out. And we walk this out based on what Christ has done for us, based on the fact that we have been forgiven. We have been saved by grace through faith. We were created to do things that God prepared beforehand for us to do, like we read in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. And he very much talks about how important it is that we act not only in the world, not only for other people to see who are not believers, but within the body of Christ. And he spends a lot of time there. And I suspect, having studied his other letters some, and also just knowing how things go when there's groups of people, that he knew that those false teachers had crept in, and they were trying to turn people against each other. They were trying to turn people against Paul. They were trying to elevate themselves. There was jealousy. There was these divisions, like we read in Corinth, and all different sorts of things. And that stems from putting self first. And that is where, that's kind of the root of sin, is that we put self first and we don't put God first. We put self above God. We put self above others. And that's just the root of all of this. All sin is rooted in selfishness. And so it matters how we treat others in our other fellow Christians, others in the body of Christ. And it matters how we treat the outside world. That's a reflection of, have we died to self? Are we serving like Jesus served? Are we loving like Jesus has loved us? And so he starts off, though, in this chapter 4, really hammering home this unity in the body of Christ. And I think he also knew not only those false teachers, but those false teachers were being motivated by the schemes of the devil. I mean, that's how the devil works. He comes in and he distracts and he causes divisions and he causes all this trouble. And Paul knew that. Paul had seen it in the other churches. And so he very much spends time here. And so we get into that verse 17. I would encourage you to go back and spend a lot of time in chapter 4. Remember, 4 through 6 of Ephesians is the practical way that we walk out because we have been saved, because we are His, because of what He's done in giving us His Spirit and saving us. This is how we walk it out, and it's hard. But it can be done with God's help because He has given us His Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit will show its fruit and we will have those spiritual gifts. But the fruit of the Spirit will be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. We'll put self down. We'll put God first and others first. Because of what Jesus has done for us, because He has taken away that old sinful self where we were slaves to sin, and He's taken away that and replaced it with that new heart, that new man. We're putting away the old self and we're putting on the new. This is how it looks. And so listen to this in verse 17 of chapter 4. Therefore, I say and testify in the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk. And in this case, he's talking about those who didn't know the Lord. In other places where he talks about Gentiles, that's just someone who is not a Jew. But in this way, it's like how these other places who didn't know the Lord used to walk. Don't do that anymore. In the futility of their mind, being darkened in their mind, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ this way, if indeed you heard Him and were taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, to lay aside, in reference to your former conduct, the old man, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new man, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, so because of this, because we no longer walk in the futility of the sinful ways, because we have laid aside that old way, and put on this new man, he says that's where we get this. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And I'm going to stop there because in a couple of days we may come and get some more of this, Lord willing. But it very much goes to, if you have really been saved, if you are really walking and desire to be who God wants you to be, if Jesus has truly saved you and has cleansed your heart and has covered you with His righteousness, then there is a way that you walk. There is a way that we treat one another. And one of those ways is to lay aside all falsehood. So to be authentic, to be true in all your ways, and to speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Now, he may have very well been referring very much to the body of Christ there, for us to speak truth to one another, but we always want to speak truth because Jesus is truth. God is truth. In him there is no lie. And if we are his, we should very much want to speak the truth with our neighbor. And sometimes it is both hard to speak that truth and to hear that truth. You know, there's been this unfortunate idea, and it's propagated by the devil, because the devil is the father of lies. He's been a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Everything he talks about and does is a lie. And there's been this idea propagated that, well, we just need to be kind, and we don't need to challenge, we don't need to confront, we need to just love people where they are and not point out the truth. We don't want to offend, we don't want to hurt. That's one of the devil's biggest tactics. He's doing it right now. He's done it in our current culture, where at one time there were some morals, and now our society as a whole has just become very immoral. They say everybody can have their own idea of what truth is and do their own thing, and there is no right and no wrong. But friends, we have the absolute truth. We have it in Jesus. We have it in God's Word. And the sum of all of God's Word is truth. His Word is truth. And if we share that truth right now in our culture, many people say, well, you're just being a hater. You're judging. But if our truth is something, if it's not ours, it comes from God. If God's truth, it points out how we are away from Him and we can come back to Him and be saved and have eternal life. If we are keeping someone, encouraging someone to turn away from that which is going to cause them eternal separation from God and eternal torment, why would we not want to be bold and speak the truth with our neighbor? And you know, we talked about, remember that a neighbor means one who is near. So anyone who is near. Now, do we have any place to condemn? No, because all of us are sinners. But if we know the truth of God's Word, one of the most loving things we can do is to share that. And so I pray that we will ask God to help us, that He will help us to share the truth in love. Now, we don't have to, it's not our department to make sure that the person accepts it and is happy with it and loves it. Because more than likely, often when we hear the hard things, we don't love that at first. That's God's department. But if He calls us to stand for the truth and speak the truth, may we do that. May He guide us by the power of His Holy Spirit to speak that truth in love, to be kind and gentle. But being kind and gentle does not mean letting someone continue on a path to hell. And so may we love fiercely. May we see our encounters as those that have eternal significance, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. And I just pray, I ask God to help me with that, to speak His truth. And may we do it in love, because we are, those of us who are together in the body of Christ, we are members one of another. We are part of that body of Christ, and may we do that no matter where we are. This is hard, but there are many things about the Christian walk that are not easy. But we don't have to do it in our own strength. We can ask for God's help to be bold for Him, to speak what He would have us to speak, to love as He would have us to love, and He takes care of all the rest. It may not be the way we would have taken care of it, but may we trust Him all the more. May we ask Him to give us boldness to speak the truth in whatever situation, in whatever time, for His glory, and lay aside all falsehood. May we be authentic. May we love people that much to be authentic and to lay aside that falsehood and speak the truth with our neighbor. Blessings to you, friends. Until next time.